Welcome to Today's Homeowner with Danny Lipford, your partner in home improvement. Everyone has questions about their home. We've got the answers, and we have a few laughs along the way. Informative, entertaining, and sometimes off the wall. Home improvement has never been this much fun.
Happy New Year, everybody, and welcome to the Today's Homeowner Radio Show. Danny Lipford here, along with my co-host Joe Truini, here on the very first weekend of 2022. Now, this is the start of what we feel is going to be an unbelievable year for you and every Today's Homeowner to tackle home improvement projects, whether it's just repairing or a little renovation, big or small. We're here every weekend to offer you tips, share a few tricks, ideas, and hear from you about your projects. And overall, make sure you're getting the most practical, realistic Today's Homeowner information that you can find anywhere. Plus, as always, yeah, we're going to have a little fun along the way. Now, there's a number of ways that you can get in touch with us, and all of them are listed at todayshomeowner.com. Now, whether by email, social media, submitting your questions online, or even calling us anytime, 24 hours a day, and leave us a message. The Today's Homeowner hotline is 800-946-4420. Hey, jumping straight in right now to help out Brian, who's standing by on the hotline with a few questions about insulation. Brian, welcome to the show.
Hey, guys. Love your show. I know you guys always talk about the importance of insulating your attic. Mm-hmm. I figured I'm going to put some layers up there. I have about 8 inches of fiberglass insulation mm-hmm. right now. I know that there's the fiberglass, and I also know there's mineral wool. Right. And I wasn't sure which one's better, or if I can mix and match the two, or should I just stick with fiberglass?
Okay. Well, that's a good question. I'm glad you called and asked that, because I have a lot of people that ponder that same scenario. You know, you might have blown insulation. Do you have to put blown back on? You know, different kinds of combinations. Some of the advantages and disadvantages, mineral wool, I really like because it's so easy to work with. It doesn't irritate your skin in any way. It's real easy to cut around any pipes or wires that you might encounter as you're installing it. And yes, it can work in conjunction with fiberglass. There's a lot of advantages from that standpoint. Now, it is a little more expensive. I don't know, Joe, what did we discover that time? It was about 20 or 30% more, isn't it?
I'm not sure the percentage, but Brian, I think we found that it costs between like 60 and 70 cents a square foot for fiberglass and a little over $1, $1.10 for rock wool, mineral wool, but that was a while ago. And these days, I don't know what anything's
cost. Yeah, I don't know if it's
seems like it changes weekly. Yeah,
yeah. Well, if it's
but
going
it does.
Down
it or... is a significant difference if you're doing an entire house. You're doing just an attic, so I'm not sure. You know, maybe it'll cost you 20% more.
So, I mean, it is effective. And then, you know, other advantage of it, it's fire resistant, it's mold and mildew resistant. So it has a lot of advantages on that. What I would do is measure that footage that you have there, the footage in your attic, and then just get a price on both the mineral wool and the fiberglass. And but one of the things you do need to remember is no paper on the insulation, none of the craft facing on that. You want it to be unfaced when you're putting it down on there. And a lot of times what I would recommend is run it perpendicular to your ceiling joist, you know, completely opposite of the direction that your insulation is running now. That seems to kind of tighten up the blanket a little bit more.
Okay, that's great. Hey, Danny, can I just mention one thing before I get off?
Sure, of course.
I saw Joe on the History Channel's Machines That Built America, the power tool segment, and I thought it was fascinating how it shed light on the beginning of the DIYer.
DIY, right, yeah.
Look at his head swelling up right now. Boy, he's going to be hard to deal with the rest of the show now.
So. I'm going to have to grease up the door jams to get my head through. Yeah, Brian, thank you very much. The History Channel does a great job with those series. And what Brian's referring to, Danny, is that Black & Decker, this is going back, I don't even remember when now, probably in the 40s, Black & Decker was making tools, specifically their drill, the first pistol grip drill for factories. Uh-huh. And the guys who owned the factories realized the tools were disappearing, and they kept reordering drills. And Black & Decker, Alonzo Decker, who was one of the founders, his son was fielding these calls. And he finally said, he called the factories and said, he thought the tools were breaking down because they kept reordering drills. He's like, why are they keep reordering drills? We just sent them a shipment. But it was because the people working there were taking them home to work on their house.
Putting them in their lunchbox, huh?
In their lunchbox. So yeah. He had the idea, Alonzo Decker's son had the idea of, listen, we got to make a smaller, more affordable drill for homeowners. And that launched the entire DIY industry as we know it today.
How about that?
Isn't that interesting?
Yeah. Well, Brian, I'm glad you brought that up because Joe is a very modest individual and he won't mention some of these things he should be bragging about from time to time. So I'm glad you brought that up. We appreciate that.
All right, great. Have a nice day.
Thank you very much. Pick up the phone and reach us on our Today's Homeowner Hotline, 800-946-4420. Right now we're going to Chris that's on the line. Chris, tell us about this plumbing issue and welcome to the show.
Hi. This isn't actually my bathtub, but it's an older home, and I imagine the previous owners left water in their tub. Don't know for sure, but the drain doesn't have the crossbars inside it to use the tool that's made to remove that drain.
Right.
So it's all corroded. How will I get it out to replace it?
Boy, you have to be careful on that one because you don't want to scar up that tub in any way. And, you know, to be able to get that type of leverage and tension on that to turn it, you know, the proper way. Joe, I think one of the first things I would consider doing on this is maybe some penetrating oil or something to, you know, put there because it's going to settle in around that. And hopefully that oil will, you know, penetrate down to the corrosion on the threaded fitting there.
Yep.
And then what would you suggest after that? You're going to have to, it's going to really take some creativity on this.
Yeah, there are a couple of ways to do it. First, Chris, I assume this is an older tub, so it's probably cast iron. And do you know if they're replacing the tub or they're like with a new tub or a shower stall, or are they trying to save the existing tub and just replace the drain?
Just replace the drain, and I believe it's fiberglass. It's a one-piece unit.
Oh, it's fiberglass. Okay, well, that's unusual.
I believe it's fiberglass, yeah.
Yeah, the first thing I would do is, I agree with Danny, squirt some liquid wrench down in around the drain, and you'll have to wait 15 or 20 minutes and squirt it some more because you have to give it time. It's very thin. The viscosity of the liquid wrench is very thin, so it will work its way down. I assume these threads are probably rusted. And then there's a couple different ways. I mean, I've seen people use a cold chisel and a hammer and tap it and just break it loose, and then they can spin it out or heat it with a torch. But they do make, I'm not sure what it's called, it's a cross-threaded universal fitting, and it's made specifically for this. It's hard to describe it, but you can get it at a plumbing supply store. It's brass, and it's got threads. It's tapered and has threads that are kind of reversed. The way they're turned is reversed. What you do is you put it in the drain, and you pound it in with a hammer. You hit it two or three times with a hammer. And what happens is those cross threads bite into the inside of the tub drain. Then you put a wrench on a pipe wrench and you can back it out. So that's one way. Another way is if there are often grooves, two grooves on opposite side of the drain inside, you can cut a piece of metal. It usually has to be pretty thick, maybe eighth inch thick or thicker, that will just fit in there and let it stick out an inch or so. And then you can put a pair of pliers on it and wrench it out that way as well. So those are the two ways I would recommend. You can find that universal fitting. It has I think on top of it, there's a hex-shaped head that's about 1¾ inches in diameter, so it gives you something really to bite onto. Those are the only ways I know how to get it out.
Well, I will search for one of those for starters.
And I tell you, using a blow dryer on there is probably not a bad idea with the, you know, heat, and just to heat it up just a little bit. That'll help that metal move a little bit and hopefully loosen up that corrosion that might have it bound together. But just take it slow and easy. You don't want to have to end up putting it in a brand new tub.
Well, that's why I figured I'd ask someone else how to do it. I've replaced drains before. But they always had those cross pieces.
Right.
And I was able to grip it with a tool and pull it out. So
for anybody who's listening that wants to replace a tub drain that still has those cross bars in it, they do make a tub drain wrench specifically designed that sits right over there. But sometimes they're plastic and they snap off, or in your case, maybe they just corroded and rotted away.
All right. Well, I surely appreciate your ideas, and I will test them out.
Now, any type of Today's Homeowner advice you're looking for, never hesitate to reach out and let us help you out. Or maybe you have a Today's Homeowner tip or idea you want to share. We always love to hear from you, and you're always welcome to join in on the show at any time. Find out how you can get in touch with us by going to todayshomeowner.com.
The sound of you doing is music to our ears. order on the Home Depot app, and get convenient delivery. So you don't have to stop doing when you need something. The Home Depot app. How doers get more done.
So you like improving your home? Me too. Join me, Chelsea, at checkinwithchelsea.com for even more home improvement tips, tricks, and inspiration. I love improving my home and sharing the ups and downs with you so we can all learn together. Every month, I post a new project or how-to video with lots of other DIY posts in between. If I can do it, I know you can too. So drop by checkinwithchelsea.com or follow me on Instagram at checkinginwithchelsea. Brought to you by Woodcraft.
Today's Homeowner is brought to you by The Home Depot. How doers get more done.
Hey, a quick thank you to Bob Allen and the entire team at News Talk 1340 KTPI for joining the Today's Homeowner family. And special hello to everyone listening in the Mojave, California area. We're really excited to be on in your hometown, and we look forward to hearing and helping you with all of your Today's Homeowner improvement questions. Now, you can call the Today's Homeowner hotline and leave us a message anytime, day or night, 800-946-4420. Also, at todayshomeowner.com, click on the Ask TH button at the top of the page to submit your questions or let us know when you'd like to join us here on the show. Hey, going to the Today's Homeowner Hotline right now, Brenda, Happy New Year and welcome to the show.
Hey there. Thank you for inviting me, and I enjoy your show. I've been watching you for years, so I appreciate your help.
Oh, well, good, good. Well, we want to help you with this bathroom. I hear you're about to tear into a bathroom. Tell us all about it.
Well, it was upgraded, I think, in 98, and I made the mistake of putting, I think it's called Masonite. It's like a sheeting on the walls. It was kind of popular back then. Mm-hmm. And, of course, it doesn't stand up to water behind my sink. I have, like, a pedestal sink. Mm-hmm. So, thinking about replacing that and the floors, so forth. My commode is new. The tub's pretty new and the tile around it. So, basically, I'm concerned about the walls, a product. I'm not sure what it's going to, the sheetrock will look like after we remove that, the Masonite off the wall.
Well, Brenda, do you remember when it was installed? Did you use any glue or construction adhesive on it, or did you just nail it to the drywall?
It probably has glue. I hired it done, and of course, I wasn't here when he put it up, but I would say it has glue, and then it's, you know, pieced together with trim around the sides.
Well, that would be the main thing, and that'll tell you everything as soon as you remove that first section of it, because if it's just simply nailed, most likely you can save that drywall and be able to use it. You know, you may have a 100 little nail holes to patch, but that's not that hard. But if you have the glue on it, that might be a different story. Sometimes the glue will turn loose fairly easily, but other times it's going to kind of damage the drywall by removing the surface paper off of it, that then we'll have to kind of a decision at that point whether to use joint compound to try to repair that damage or remove all of the drywall and replace it or veneer over it. Those will be the different options that you will have. Now, of course, the advantage if you do end up removing all of it, take advantage of that and go ahead and insulate all of those walls, even if it's an inside wall. That helps a lot on that noise transmission and just to keep the bathroom a little more cozy. And then just use a moisture-resistant drywall to go on it, have it finished, and then use an eggshell or semi-gloss paint to make it a little more durable and a little more washable. But you'll know what you have ahead of you when you remove just that first section.
Okay, well, that's great advice. I appreciate it. I thought about, you know, shiplap. I'm afraid that'll go out of style by the time I get it up, whatever. So I wasn't sure if there's anything else I could put over sheetrock if I decided to go that route.
Well, you know, a lot of people use the beadboard, which looks okay if you use it on a wainscoting or wainscoting type of approach, but putting it all over the wall, I'm not sure about that. Joe, what would you recommend? Because there's still, you know, drywall and painting it with semi-gloss paint or eggshell is pretty common. Of course, the product that we used at Chelsea's house, wet wall, is, I was really impressed with that. What are the thoughts you have, Joe?
Yeah, Brenda, I was thinking the same thing. What I thought you could do a beadboard wainscoting up like just half the wall,
right,
which would have chair rail on top. So now you'd only have half the wall that you have to be concerned with. Because I suspect, as Danny, I think, does as well, when you pull off this masonite, you're going to find those walls are in pretty rough shape. And rather than just patching or replacing all the old sheetrock, I would just go over it with quarter-inch sheetrock. And again, you're only going to be doing a little more than half of the wall because you'll have the beadboard down below it. And the beadboard comes in, you can get vinyl, or I guess it's PVC, almost plastic beadboard, or you get the wooden one and paint it or stain it. And then once you put up the new drywall, then of course, you know, you can just finish it and paint it as if you would any other room. Now, some people think, well, I could put up wallpaper and that would solve the problem. And that would, except wallpaper in a bathroom when it's exposed to a lot of hot, steamy air. You know, I'm not so sure about that, Brenda. You know, sometimes it starts to peel off and then you're back to another problem. So I think I'd probably avoid the wallpaper, but I like the idea of wainscoting and then there's new drywall above.
Now, one more question. Will the beadboard be safe behind that pedestal sink? Because that's where I had a problem with the masonite. It started peeling off there.
Yes. If you paint it really well, or if you get the PVC, the plastic kind, of course, then it'll be completely impervious to any water damage.
Okay. Great idea. I appreciate that.
Of course. Thank you.
Well, there you go, Brenda. A few different ideas to consider, and certainly hope the bathroom turns out well. And we appreciate you watching our television show.
Well, I sure enjoy it. Thank you guys for your advice. Y'all have a great day.
Okay, let's get right to the Today's Homeowner Hotline. We're going to check in with Greg in North Carolina. Greg, welcome to the show, and tell us what's going on with this asphalt driveway.
Thank you. I have grass that's eating into the edges of my driveway, and I'm hoping to get any suggestions on how to get it to stop and how I might be able to prevent it from occurring again in the future.
Yeah, it's amazing, isn't it? You know, it's usually about an inch to an inch and a half thick. How in the world could anything grow up through that? But, you know, it just like concrete, you're going to have a little crack here and there, and then water gets down in there, and that's about all it takes. Well, we have several different ways of approaching this, and one is to simply put boiling water on it. You can just pour, you know, take the old tea kettle and heat it up and go out and pour that boiling water directly on the plant and it'll be gone by the afternoon. And then you can just take a screwdriver or something, you know, a garden tool to scrape it out of there and then that will eliminate it. But now, of course, on any of the different methods, and Joe has another idea of a homemade solution that you can spray on it. But once you get this done, though, Greg, you're going to want to use some asphalt repair caulk. And you can put it in a caulking tube and just go into each and every one of these cracks and just fill it up. That'll prevent the water from getting down in there and the plants growing behind that. Joe, you want to share your homemade solution?
Sure.
That a lot of people ask us about there about a year ago.
Yeah, Greg, I had shared a simple solution for a weed killer that works great. And it's basically just white vinegar with dish soap. That's the most simple solution. And the dish soap just helps the vinegar stick to it. And you can use regular white vinegar that you might put like in a salad dressing or something, but they also make a home and garden vinegar, which has a much higher acidic content to it, so it works a lot faster. And what I've seen people use around here, and Danny, I think you've mentioned this before, that there are propane torches, Greg, made specifically for killing weeds. And I think they're called like flame weeders, and I've seen them called weed torch kit. But essentially, it's a long handle with a little blower on the end, and then there's a 20-gallon propane tank that's on wheels, and you just roll around and you just torch it. And that's the reason that the boiling water works too. By the way, that idea of Danny's works great, except if the water cools off, Greg, don't use it because then you're just watering the weeds.
Yeah, that's true.
And
they're
going to grow really well. But going back to the original problem, like how do you stop it? Well, that might be an ongoing problem. But once you kill them, as Danny said, if you can put some kind of asphalt patch in there, that'll help. But one thing is, I've seen people put in borders. Now, it might be easier just to kill them when you see them. But if you have them, the weeds just growing through the border of your driveway, what they can do is cut away the edges and put in a solid border. Usually it's like, I think we call them Belgian block. Around here, we call them landscaping blocks, or you can just use concrete, basically like a curb. And that just creates a barrier so the grass doesn't get to the driveway. But again, that would be a last resort, I think.
Oh, excellent. Yeah, I think I'll give that white vinegar with the dish soap a try as a first step.
And sometimes since it's just grass, that'll probably work. But if you add Epsom salt to it as well, that really will kill them. But just try the vinegar, even just household vinegar and a little Dawn dish soap or something like that.
Okay. Yeah, I have all of those ingredients here already.
Great. There you go. You don't even have to go to the store to make that situation work. But I'm glad we were able to help you on that. You can tackle that grass and keep that asphalt looking good. And then maybe in the spring, you might consider putting another coating over it just to kind of maintain it and keep it looking good. But Greg, we appreciate you being a part of the Today's Homeowner Radio Show today.
Okay. Thank you very much. I appreciate it.
Every weekend, we share information on some of the coolest new tools, gadgets, and products available to all today's homeowners. And if you're thinking about renovating your bathroom this year, we'll tell you about a new frameless medicine cabinet coming up in just a little over 4 minutes. Plus, we have Christine standing by on the hotline looking for a solution to get hot water faster from her faucet. Hey, that's an issue that a lot of us have had to deal with over the years, so we'll talk about it next here on the Today's Homeowner Radio Show.
Call us any time of the day or night with your questions, suggestions, tips, and home improvement stories. Our hotline is open now at 1-800-946-4420 or at todayshomeowner.com.
Call Today's Homeowner anytime, 800-946-4420.
2022 is here. Happy New Year from all of us here at Today's Homeowner. Hey, now it's time for our best new product segment brought to you by The Home Depot, How Doers Get More Done. There are some things that you might never think about until you don't have them, or they just don't work right. Medicine cabinets in the bathroom are one of those things, so Kohler decided to reinvent the medicine cabinet with their new MaxStow Frameless Surface Mount Soft Close Medicine Cabinet. The idea was to maximize your bathroom storage and improve the experience of using this often ignored fixture. For starters, they've staggered the shelving inside so that holds both tall and short items with no wasted space. Plus, everything you need fits inside so you can keep clutter off your countertop. The slim 3.5-inch deep design provides the same internal storage as traditional 5-inch cabinets, and installation is extremely easy and very quick. The door is reversible for left or right swing, and its slow close feature prevents any slamming. The front door is mirrored, as you would expect, but so is the interior, and the unit includes two reversible side panel kits in white and gray to match your decor. So for more information on this Kohler MaxStow Frameless Surface Mount Soft Close Medicine Cabinet, log on to HomeDepot.com. Now, you can also go to todayshomeowner.com and see more by clicking on the Best New Product page. Okay, let's get Christine on the Today's Homeowner Hotline. Happy New Year, Christine, and welcome to the show.
Thank you, Danny. Thanks so much for taking my call. So my question has to do with the hot water in the house, hot water tank, and getting it to my faucet. I live on in a brick ranch on a crawl space, and I have a 50-gallon electric water heater. And I've just noticed lately that when I turn on the hot water tap, it seems to take forever to get the hot water coming through both in the kitchen and the bathroom. Mm-hmm. And I do realize the crawl space is cold and it's coming through there, but is there anything at all I can do to help speed up that hot water coming out? I'm looking for any suggestion you might have to help that.
Well, you've come to the right place because we have dealt with this quite a bit over the years. And I agree with you. That is so frustrating, standing there waiting and waiting, just seeing those dollars going right down the drain while you're waiting on that warm water. Now, insulating your pipe will help a little bit. I mean, it's going to help, you know, prevent any freeze damage that might occur during extreme temperatures. But also, it's just kind of a situation where the water is leaving your water heater and is losing the heat as it's traveling to your vanity or kitchen sink or whatever. So having it insulated will help a little bit. But there's something called a recirculating pump that a plumber can install on your water heater. And Joe, you and I have talked about this, and I know one of them, brand name is Grundfos.
Fos, right.
Grundfos, F-O-S. Right. Grundfos is one, and there's another one. I can't quite think of the name of it. But if you Google or search for recirculating hot water systems, you'll find some very, very simple systems. Again, what it's basically doing is just allowing a little bit of hot water to circulate through your system. They have these little special valves that they will put on, let's say your master bathroom vanity is the one that's the greater distance away from your water heater than your other sinks.
Yes.
They'll put that little valve underneath there, and it just recirculates a little bit. And I know my previous house, I had that installed. It was amazing. It really did work very, very well. Now, that's if you have an existing system. If you install a new water heater, they have a number of them that have the circulating systems built right into it. But I would just call around on with a plumber, you know, different plumbers, and say, hey, have you installed these? You know, and you'll find one that's installing these on a routine basis, and problem will be solved. And you're going to save money on that water because you're just simply not going to have to use it as much.
Got it. Okay. My other question is itself, you said about insulating the pipes themselves. Like you said, I am on a crawl space.
Right.
Should I consider insulating the entire crawl space? I've never done that. Or is just concentrating on the pipes my best bet?
Well, I mean, it certainly doesn't hurt at all. We always think in the back of our mind, return on your home improvement dollar. And it's not high on the list because you're just not going to save a lot of energy and your bills will not go down significantly because of it. It's more of a comfort level more than anything else. Certainly living in Michigan, you'll have a bigger advantage than people living in other areas of the country. But that can be done, but it's just not going to get your money back as quick as making sure that attic is insulated well.
Got it.
Christina, I was going to say, if you do insulate the floor joists in your floor, do not cover it. A lot of people make a mistake of covering it with plastic or something like that, and that's just going to trap moisture, and you definitely don't want that. That's going to create a whole different set of problems.
I understand that. Well,
check out those recirculating hot water systems. There's a couple different major brands like that, and that'll solve your problem. I guarantee it.
I will look into that. As always, thanks so much for your helpful information. You guys are great.
Oh, thank you very much, Christine.
Thank you.
You take care and have a great weekend.
Danny never tells me I'm great, so I'm glad, Christine.
Hey, Joe, you're the best.
Thank you. Can you call my wife and tell her that?
I sure will.
Okay, thank you.
Here's another one from Saren in North Carolina. My home was built in 2011. The water heater is in the attic, and I'd like to move it downstairs to our laundry room. Last year, electricity went out, and the repairman recommended moving the water heater before it leaks and causes some serious damage. How would I get the heater out of the attic? You know, just to say a little bit about water heaters in attics, in many ways, it's the most logical place to have a water heater because it's generally pretty warm up there and you're spending money. 13% of your utility bill goes towards heating your water. So if you have it in the attic, that makes sense there. Yes, it does concern a lot of people that it can leak. You're always going to have an emergency pan under it, or you should, that has an emergency pan and then it has a drain line that runs off of that. But no matter where it is in the house, garage, basement, it can spring a leak.
Sure.
And that pan is not going to help you. But I'll tell you, I had a water heater that I had one heck of a time getting it out of my attic just because of the size.
Yeah, I'm not sure if you need to remove it. She's not moving this one to reuse it. She's buying a brand new one to put it downstairs somewhere. I'm not sure if you disconnect it, empty it out, why you couldn't just leave it there.
That's true.
I mean, unless you want the storage space or something, it's not going to weigh hardly anything.
No, not at all.
I would just probably leave it.
Yeah. There's no real need to actually take that down. It just takes some, you know, if you're selling the house, of course, you have to do some explaining on why that one's up there that's not functioning.
Well, you can say, I'm not charging anything any extra for the second water heater.
That's right. I'm throwing
Danny
that in.
Danny Lipford said I could just leave it in the attic.
I'm throwing it in. You can use it for water storage.
Thanks for listening to Today's Homeowner. If there's a tip or piece of advice you may have missed, find it at todayshomeowner.com/radio.
Are you hooked on home improvement? Then take our easy-to-understand practical advice with you wherever you go by downloading the Today's Homeowner podcast. With a fresh new episode every week, you'll always have access to the latest tips, tricks, and answers to your home improvement questions. It's like having Danny Lipford and his crew right there with you while you work. Subscribe to the Today's Homeowner podcast today through your favorite podcast app or visit todayshomeowner.com/podcast to learn more.
Got a project? Tight Bond wood glues are preferred by pro woodworkers more than 7-to-1. Why? Because Tight Bond is professional strength, even stronger than the wood itself. Tight Bond is versatile, perfect for interior and exterior woodworking, and the best choice for home repairs. Tight Bond is tough and durable, outlasting extreme weather conditions and conquering demanding projects. Tight Bond wood glues, the trusted choice for the pro in you.
Is your concrete driveway, sidewalk, or patio looking old and worn? Time and exposure to the elements can cause concrete to flake, discolor, or just look dull. Now you can easily renew your concrete surfaces with Quikrete Recap Concrete Resurfacer at a fraction of the cost of replacing it, and you can do it yourself. Quikrete Recap will give you a durable new finish that will last for years. For more information on Recap, visit Quikrete.com. Quikrete, what America's made of. Gutter Brush is a simple gutter guard I've recommended for years. It's easy. Just slide 3-foot sections of gutter brush into your gutters and leave them there year-round to keep gutters flowing. Right now, they're having their big fall sale, 25% off and free shipping with code DANNY when you order direct at gutterbrush.com. Most homes are protected for just $200 to $300. Visit gutterbrush.com or call 888-397-9433 to get free shipping and 25% off with code DANNY.
Are drafty windows causing a chill in your home? Keep the cold out with Duck Brand Max Strength Rolled Window Insulation Kits. This window film creates an added barrier between warm inside air and the frigid temperatures outside, blocking drafts that steal energy and drive up your heating bill. The puncture-resistant film is 2 times thicker than standard window kits, so it's great for high traffic or pet-friendly homes. And the crystal clear film is easy to install and remove once warmer weather arrives. Visit duckbrand.com to find a retailer near you.
Could your backyard use a makeover? You can create beautiful outdoor living spaces with Rumblestone from Pavestone. Create a paver patio or walkway, garden retaining wall, grill enclosure, fire pit, or even an outdoor kitchen. These rustic building blocks make it easy and they look great. Rumblestone from Pavestone is available at the Home Depot. And be sure to check out the project ideas and how-to videos at pavestone.com. That's pavestone.com. Be the first to know about everything that's happening here at Today's Homeowner. Subscribe to the Today's Homeowner newsletter by going to todayshomeowner.com and clicking on subscribe in the top right corner of the page. Hey, we're about to go to Lisa right now, who's standing by in Michigan with questions about issues in her home that was built in 1926. Lisa, welcome to the Today's Homeowner Radio Show.
Thank you so much for having me on.
Congratulations on rolling up your sleeve and getting ready to do a little updating on your home. We want to help you. What can we help you with today?
My bathroom floor has been a nightmare. I have a 1926 home, and all the issues I've been running into with this home, floor is not left. And I'm trying to level the floor so I can install a flooring, the paneling over it, and I can't level the floor off.
Okay, what kind of floor do you have in mind putting in the bathroom?
I purchased this porcelain, like, snap flooring to go together that I have to grout afterwards.
Uh-huh, yeah. Mm-hmm.
But the floor is not leveled. It's just not leveled, and I tried to level it, used the self-leveling, but I didn't go to the YouTube videos in time.
Oh, boy.
That should always be the first step, Lisa. The second step is to call us.
Well, the self-leveling is a little tricky. I mean, I know when I first used it the first couple of times, I thought it was just an absolute miracle because I was only, you know, maybe an eighth of an inch unlevel. So I poured it out. It leveled itself up. I was ready to go in no time. I thought that was great. But when I used it on a project that was 3/4 of an inch out, all of a sudden I had a bit of a mess because I had so much on one side of the room and nothing on the other side of the room. So it made it for, you know, a little harder. Do you have any idea how out of level the floor is?
That's exactly what happened, what you just described a second time. So I done took a sledgehammer and broke it all up because it was so unleveled. I'm like, it made it worse rather than better. So I've broken that up.
But do you think it's 1 inch out or 3/4 out? What do you think
it's
in terms
of? It's
about
an inch. I measured it. It's about an inch on one side. It's not the whole floor.
Okay.
So it's one side of the floor is like an inch, and the other side may be a quarter of an inch. The other corner is not the whole floor. It's just the side.
I see. Well, it's a hard one to really describe because, you know, one way that I've done that, or actually many, many times where I've done that, is actually taking, and this is kind of tricky to do, but use treated wood and actually cut long shims to level it out. Now, this requires putting a level across it or a string line and measure where you're taking a piece of wood that may be 6 foot long and you're cutting it from 3/4 of an inch down to nothing. So it's just these long shims that you screw and glue to the floor, and then you're basically putting a flooring on top of that. Now, that can cause all kinds of complications and lead to other problems, but it gets the floor level. Joe, what do you think on something like this? Do you think maybe giving the self-leveling another try with using two coats, two applications instead of one?
You know, Lisa, I would not bother with the self-leveling compound at this point. And thanks for sending the photograph because that helps a lot. And that plywood subfloor of yours is in pretty bad shape. It looks like a small half bath maybe. I would take up all that plywood. Most of it's water damaged anyway. I would take it all up. That would expose the floor joists below. You'd have a really clear idea on why it's so far out of level. It might be a damaged floor joist. It might be one joist that's way too low. And if that's the case, then I would recommend, as Danny said, making these long shims and out of pressure treated lumber, putting them right on top of the joists, and then buying brand new plywood. And then it would be level. You'd have a brand new floor, plywood floor, subfloor. And then you could put whatever you want on top of that. I would just get the plywood subfloor as level in all directions as you can, and then worry about the toilet and any other areas after that.
Okay. In order to do that, I would have to take out the tub?
The plywood probably doesn't go under the tub, so that won't be an issue. But no, you wouldn't have to remove the tub. And whatever's under the tub, it usually sits right on the floor, Joyce, so I don't think the tub would be an issue. I was just talking about the area I saw where the toilet was in your photograph.
Yes.
That seems to be the...
Yes.
Yeah, I would just level it up from the toilet. Just go, is the toilet on the high spot or the low spot?
The low, the back of the toilet on the low, because I had to put some shimmies in to actually level the toilet off now because of the self-leveling that I put in there. I broke it all up except for where the toilet is because I didn't want to take the toilet back out until I had a clear picture of how to fix it.
I think you need a contractor in there, Lisa.
Okay. That's why I said, you know what, just stop, because I literally have taken the floor back up twice already, and I'm like, no, just wait. You're not doing something right.
But either way, you've already saved yourself some money by getting it to this point, and that way they can see exactly what they need to do from this point. So I think you're in good shape. Sorry about the frustration so far, but I think you're on the right track.
Thank you all so much. You are a godsend. When I came across the videos and then went to your website, I'm like, I love this. I stayed up last night watching a video on other things I need to do in the kitchen, the backsplash. I'm like, oh my goodness, they're answering all my questions. This is awesome. You all are awesome. Thank you.
Hey,
Thank you. We're
glad to help, and if we can help you in the future, let us know. And best of luck on it, Lisa, and have a great weekend.
Thank you so much.
Coming up in just a few minutes, we'll get another great simple solution from my buddy Joe Truini. That's here next on the Today's Homeowner Radio Show. Don't go anywhere.
Looking to update the look of your fireplace mantle? I've got just what you need at checkinginwithchelsea.com. Just search for fireplace plans for free printable plans. Then watch my how-to video of this simplistic but sophisticated design, and you're on your way to building your own fireplace mantle too. I can't wait to see what you build, so be sure to share your mantles by tagging me on social media. I'm at Checking In With Chelsea. Again, the plans and video are online now at checkinginwithchelsea.com. Brought to you by Woodcraft.
When you're working with wood, it's important to have the right tool for the job. Whether you need hand tools, power tools, finishing supplies, or just some good advice, the place to go is woodcraft.com. If you prefer hands-on help, stop by one of the 75 Woodcraft retail stores where you'll find classes taught by woodworking experts plus all the latest woodworking tools and supplies. Woodcraft for all your woodworking needs. Visit them in person or at woodcraft.com or call 1-800-535-4545.
4486.
Transform your kitchen or bathroom with a beautifully tiled backsplash all by yourself in as fast as one day with Simple Mat from Custom Building Products. Simple Mat is a unique double-sided adhesive mat designed to bond tile to backsplashes, countertops, and shower walls. There's no mixing of powder, no mess to clean up, and no waiting for the mortar to harden. Simply set the tile onto the mat, then grout. It's the quickest, easiest, cleanest way to install tile. Visit thesimplemat.com for more information. Available exclusively at the Home Depot.
From installing a smart garage door opener, to installing a bathroom faucet, to removing a tree, the Home Depot believes you can do anything, especially the things we have how-to guides for. Visit HomeDepot.com for thousands of tips, workshops, and ideas for projects, big and small. The Home Depot app, how doers get more done.
Hey, we want to remind you about today's homeowner hotline. That number is 800-946-4420. Let's listen to one of the calls we got. This is a pretty good one, and we encourage you, if you have an idea that has worked well for you, no matter what it is, any kind of tip, hey, pick up the phone and share it with us. That's what Tom did recently.
Hi, Danny. Hi, Joe. Love your show. Got a simple tip you might be interested in. You ever been frustrated about items under your kitchen sink that you can't seem to get a hold of because they're in the back of the sink area? You might want to try this. What I did was just go to the grocery store, go to the beverage aisle where they've got sports drinks or soda pop, things like that. And they have these cardboard sleeves, I call them, and they fit about the exact size of what you have underneath your sink. Grab a couple of those, slide them underneath your kitchen sink area, and put whatever items you have to have stored underneath there. And then when you need them, all you have to do is slide them out and grab what you want. Another advantage is if you happen to have a small leak or something, the cardboard will swell up and you'll know right away if you've got a problem there. Again, love your show. You guys have a great day. God bless.
Well, Tom, thank you so much for taking the time to call in. I mean, it makes perfect sense. I know exactly what he's talking about. And I'll tell you what, putting some of the little drawer assemblies under a kitchen sink, sometimes that can be a real challenge depending how well the plumber did with that P-trap and the other water lines and so forth. But that's a great, simple way of doing it. And if it wears out after a little while, you throw it away and pick up another one from the grocery store.
And it's a leak detection device as well, apparently. When it swells up, then you fix the leak and you get a new cardboard carton for that. Yeah, it's a great idea.
You know, as we talk about all the time, there are so many simple ways to solve a lot of those aggravating problems you might have around your house. And Joe has worked very hard over the last 20 plus years, putting together a great library of simple solutions for you. He's going to share one with us right now.
Well, Danny, tis the season to be cutting and splitting firewood, and that also means you're going to be cutting kindling. And that can be kind of dangerous, especially if you're using an axe, because you have to hold the board or the log with one hand while chopping it with the other. Mm-hmm. So here's a safer solution. Take a 16-inch long, more or less, 1x2 or any narrow board like that, and drive a 1 5/8-inch drywall screw through one end of it so that the point of the screw sticks out on the underside of it. Now you can use that screw point to tap it with a hammer into the top of the board or log that you're planning on chopping. And so now your hand is, you know, at least 16 inches away. So you can very safely chop the piece of wood into kindling, and the little point of the screw will just hold it. And you can move that as you need to. But by doing that, you keep your hand well away from that danger zone while you're cutting up all that kindling.
Well, that's a great idea. Another good, simple solution. And also, you know, when you're thinking about that firewood, we hope you're using wood that was cut last year, because wood needs to season for at least 6 months. A year is even better. That way you have it nice and dry. And also, Joe, it's real tempting when we're doing these projects around the house to use some of the leftover wood. Now, think if you have, you know, for kindling, if you have a little bit of pine trim or something like that here and there. That's not bad, but you just don't want to fill that fireplace up with something that'll create such a hot, quick fire like that. That's really, you want that slow, steady fire and heat instead of that flash. And without a doubt, if you're building a deck, those scraps are not to be used in your fireplace. That treated wood is completely wrong to use in your fireplace. So great tips. And remember, you can go to todayshomeowner.com/simplesolutions to see well over 500 more great tips just like this one.
You're listening to Today's Homeowner Radio, the number one place for practical, realistic home improvement tips.
Have a question about your home? Call the Today's Homeowner hotline anytime, day or night, at 1-800-946-4420.